I was with Brooklyn. Brooklyn, I took Brooklyn with me to go visit Bill and Birdie and spend some time with them. And it was interesting to sit with you know, a couple. Bill's in his 90s, Brooklyn's 17, and you know, just different places that they're in life and their own experience, you know. And I'm sitting there watching someone in their 90s share and someone who's 17 share, and they're working through life. But you know, the Bible says your young men will prophesy. Any young men in the house? Come on, we got to get the word on our mouth. Young men will prophesy. It says your old man will dream dreams. And Bill told me he's been dreaming. I've been dreaming, Carl. I've been dreaming. He says, when I'm there, I'm dreaming. I'm in the presence of the Lord. He says, I see Impact Church absolutely exploding and absolutely bursting. And, you know, Bill's been a prophet in our organization, in our Canadian movement for years. And I miss his voice, his prophetic voice. So it's nice to go visit him and say, what's the Lord saying? He says, I see God breaking in. I see explosions. I see things happening. And so it's good to hear that and to know that. And I thank you, Jesus, that those good things are going on. Amen.
Amen.
Healing made simple. Healing made simple. That's what we're talking about. Going to go through a lot of verses today, okay? I'm going to go through a lot of verses today, but I want to deal with the primary root of why people kind of get stuck and why it's hard for them to experience divine health. And so I want to speak that not just to you, I want to speak it over me, I want to remind myself of it. And I want you to hear this word today because, you know, sickness is more or less a symptom of other things that are just out of line in our worlds. And we got to get things lined up properly. And repentance is not that I'm feeling bad about bad things. Repentance is changing my mind and aligning my mind so I can say the same thing God says. So I repent to align myself with the revelation from God, and I push away everything that is not from God, and it will not hinder the manifestation of his purpose in my life. Amen. Amen. So Matthew 8, 2 to 3 said, and behold, the leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You have to understand, Jesus was talking and there when he was in Galilee, and he said, Naaman, there was only one guy. He was a foreigner who was healed of leprosy, he says, and no Jewish people were healed of leprosy. It was just this one Syrian guy who got healed of leprosy. And he's talking about the spirit is on me, the anointing is on me. And he's talking about that. But you see, these guys are hearing it, the religious people are hearing it, that there's no healing, there's no manifestation. They were not seeing lepers set free and healed, but Jesus began to declare, as Cheryl said, it's time, it's fulfilled in your hearing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and is to break and shatter the chains of sickness, leprosy, to set captives free. And you know what? That started when Jesus announced it, and today is still the day of absolute freedom and breakthrough. And this leper was there going, wow, nobody's getting healed. Even though there's direction of what to do when you do get healed, nobody is getting healed of leprosy. But I heard about Jesus, and he went. And you know, lepers are supposed to stay away. He broke all the rules. He broke the law. He broke all the law that was opposed to him. He broke all the spiritual rules that had been placed on him in his life. And he said, I don't care anymore. I believe he's the Messiah, and he can change my life. And he came to him and he worshiped him, proconeo, fell down and kissed towards him. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put his hand and he touched him. He said, I am willing. I am willing. There's a great I am right there. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the resurrection and life. I am the Lord who is willing to heal you. The will of God is to heal you today. The will of God is that you walk out of here in divine health, every aspect of your body. Amen. Now, David is here today. I said, David, where's David? David's here today. Came and saw me before the service. But David was here. He'd been going through all kinds of difficulties with his hip, going to chiropractors, going and spending all kinds of time trying to get his hip straightened out. And his hip was totally set free a few weeks ago. Wayne had a word of knowledge. Somebody with a hip. And David was healed right there. He was coming from the bathroom. He heard a hip thing. He says, I'll take it. And he got it. And he's totally healed. Where is David? David, stand up and wave at me. There's David right there. It's that guy. It's a real person, really set free, really healed. His life totally changed. He's not wasting his time with chiropractors and massage therapy. His hip is healed. And they said there's something for a right toe or a left toe or something. He said, I'll take that too. So he got his hip and his foot. He got a double whammy, and David's been set free. Is that true, David? Amen. Just thought I'd share that with you. Because you know what I like? It's not just, you know, we read the Bible. All our miracles are in the Bible. Every story about somebody being touched, it's in the Bible. No, it's in our world. It's in our church. It's right here. And it's happening every day. Every day. And the leper was touched. He touched him and he said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately, say immediately. I want some of those immediately, don't you? I want, well, bless you. And you know, sometimes they were healed as they went. So God bless you. Go. And I hope something changes. I want the immediately. I want to see things radically touched right away. I've seen blind eyes open immediately. I've seen withered arms restored immediately. I've seen open, pussy sores on people's legs totally healed right before our eyes, totally healed. I've seen people with chronic back pain standing barely able to walk, totally set free at the altar. Boom, absolutely healed and set free. I've seen it. And I've seen the immediately of God, and I want to see that as common. Not precious, but common. When I say common, I don't mean it's no longer special, but I want to say it is constant. It is all the time, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The leper was healed because Jesus is willing. Mark 6, wherever he entered the villages and cities in the country, they laid the sick in the marketplace. They begged that they might just touch the hem, just touch the tassel, just touch the tzitzit, say tzitzit. Just touch that hem of his garment. And everyone, every single person who touched the hem of his garment was made well. Hem, kraspedon, it's the edge, the skirt, the margin, or the tassel, the tuft. The Jews had appendages that they attached to their mantles to remind them of the law. Tzitzit made 600. It was 8 strands wrapped by 5 knots. And that is a total of 613. So it manifested the full expression of the law. The law is contained in, there are 613 commands in the law. And that tzitzit represented the law. But the 8 represents being made new, and the 5 represents grace. And I know that if I can touch his grace, I can be made new. If I can touch his gracious manifestation as the Messiah, I can be made whole. And what they touched, it wasn't the edge of his garment. They touched the tzitzit. They touched the tassel. They touched that because Malachi 4:2 prophesied that one is coming. For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves free from the pasture. And they believed this prophecy. The woman with the issue of blood, she pressed in. She left. She broke all the rules. She broke the law that stood opposed to her. And she said, I don't care. I see something else. I see grace. I see favor. I see a God who wants to restore me of 12 years of isolation. And she was set free, and all she did was she just touched the hem of his garment. See, and we've been called that we use our hands. Your hand is a dispenser of heavenly favor. I go to McDonald's, I can get a Big Mac. It's the only place I can get one. If I set up my own shop and say, we got Big Macs, they would sue me because they have a license to dispense Big Macs. You have been mandated by heaven itself. You are a distributor of heavenly favor, and your hands are for blessing. And you loose the kingdom everywhere you go. And the 5 most powerful words that you possess for evangelism are, can I pray for you? And I hope you're doing that all the time. Because there's people who need a touch. You can loose the kingdom right there, and you are authorized to command sickness, to command brokenness, despair, depression, and addiction has to leave when you use your hand in the name of Jesus. People are going to be set free. And so we have a mandate to heal, and miracles are something we must demand to come into manifestation. So I want to talk about overcoming the primary obstacle to healing, the primary obstacle to healing, all right? Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded. He took and he experienced in his body wounds. His body was cut open and torn open from his head to his toe, and he was wounded for our transgressions, where we transgressed the law, where we broke the law, where we missed the mark. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised. He took in his body bruises and beatings. He was bruised for our iniquities. Transgressions are where you miss the mark. Iniquities are inequity. It's areas inside of you where it's not equal. Things are out of balance. Things are not right. I love Mark said, he knows me. He knows everything about me. He knows me inside out, and yet he loves me. He knows my ups, my downs. He knows everything, but he loves me. He comes and visits us, and he doesn't just forgive our sins and our transgressions where we've missed the mark. He comes and he deals with the inequity. He deals with the brokenness. He deals with things that have put in our lives and spoken over our lives, and the enemy has come, and anywhere where something has been put on you that causes inequity and that things are out of balance and you're not who Jesus says you are, he comes and he deals with the inequity, not just the transgression, but the brokenness inside you. He comes and he heals you. The chastisement for our peace, for my shalom, everything necessary for me to say shalom, everything necessary for me to experience wholeness. There's no lack. I am absolutely put back together. I am absolutely free. I am whole, nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing lacking. Shalom comes into my life because it was done. Everything necessary was placed upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Did he receive the stripes? Are you healed? Did he receive the stripes? Are you healed? Yes, absolutely. Jesus, it came up again. So it's spoken prophetically in Isaiah. But in Matthew, it says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. Come out! He had the authority to, done, out! In Jesus' name. He cast out spirits with a word, and he healed all. Say all. He healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled. That word that I just spoke in Isaiah, that word was fulfilled because he said, Isaiah the prophet said, he himself took our infirmities. He himself bore our sicknesses. It was prophesied about. Jesus fulfilled it, and he brought it into manifestation with his life, with his death, with his burial, with his resurrection. It's the finished, absolute finished work of Jesus Christ. He took it. Then it's there again. I mean, if God speaks and he says something over and over again, we need to pay attention. Peter then, in 1 Peter 2:24, he said, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin. He did that so you can be dead to sin. Say dead. Didn't say avoid. Didn't say so that you can elude. You can do less of. I mean, he used a very clear word. He used this word, dead. Let me give you an analogy of what you'll experience because of what Jesus did. You and your relationship with sin, you are dead to sin. Say that with me. Dead to sin. No, say it with me. Dead to sin. He did that so that I am dead to sin. What's my relationship with sin? Dead. What obligation do I have to sin? Nothing. I have no obligation to sin. I am dead to sin. Hello? This is something that if you don't get, this will creep in your life. And then it'll lead to guilt and shame and condemnation because you don't have working in your life. I am dead to sin. If the enemy ever comes and tries to collect in any way on any personal failure or anything you've ever done, if he knocks on the door and says, I'm here to collect, you get to say, I am dead to sin. You ever tried to collect a debt from a dead man? Why did God use dead? Because you're dead to sin. He on purpose used that so that you would understand. If you owed somebody $500,000 and you died and they came tapping on the door, hey, where's Carl? He's dead. Well, he owes me $500,000. Well, good luck with that. I am dead. You are dead to sin. Dead. Dead to sin by his wounds. You are healed. You are dead to sin and you live. He personally carried our sins in his body at the cross so that we can be dead to sin, we can live for what is right, period, or colon in some. Here it is, you ready? So by his wounds, you are healed. So he connects your health, your divine health, your healing. He connects it to the working revelation of the fact that you are dead to sin. Deeply connected for incredible reason. And so much of the body of Christ doesn't get that. So therefore, they let the enemy lie to them, accuse them, say all manner of nonsense against them, afflict them, try to collect on a debt that's not theirs. And they don't understand, I am dead to sin. Is anybody here? Just starting. Here it is in the Amplified Bible, the Amplified. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as an altar of sacrifice so that we might die to sin, dead to sin. See, sin, say sin. Sin is a noun. In this context, it is a noun. Sin isn't just the offenses or things you committed. It is that brokenness that you had. It has been dealt with, and you are dead to sin. As a part of your nature, as a part of who you are, every brokenness in you, that sin nature that we all got from Adam, I'm not battling two natures anymore. I am dead to sin. Dead. I am no longer broken in any way. He has made me absolutely whole. Peace has come to every aspect of my life. So that we might be dead to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and the power of sin, and live for righteousness, for by his wounds we are healed. The power of sin comes by. What are you? I am dead to sin. How many successfully sinned this week? Liars. See, that's where we get all messed up, is that we go, but I've committed a sin. Here's the amazing thing. People who are dead to sin can still sin. It doesn't mean that your nature went back to a sin nature. You're still a child of God, but children of God can still successfully blow it. And here's what the enemy does. He comes and says, you sinned. Probably didn't work for you. Maybe you're not even a child of God. You keep screwing up over and over again. God's not for you. Then he condemns you. And he takes you down that cycle of guilt. Guilt is when you do something wrong. Shame is when you say, I did it because that's who I am. And then when you feel like that's who I am, that's when the condemner comes and you are condemned to the penalty of your sin. But I'm free from it all because I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. Are you dead to sin? Are you dead to sin? I am dead to sin. You should say it with boldness and with confidence. By his wounds, we are healed. Romans 5, 17 to 18. Romans 5, 17 to 18. It's right up here. There it is. Are you ready? For if by the one, say the one, that's not a capital. It's just a small O. Or if by the one, who was the one? Who was the one? Adam. So because of the one man's offense, death reigned. See, death reigns because Adam brought it in. Death entered into the human race because of Adam. One man's offense, because of that, death reigned through the one. Say much more. Much more. Those who receive, say receive. That's passive. It's receiving. To those who just accept it, just say I receive it. To those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. How did you get your righteousness? Well, I just kept memorizing scriptures and trying. I just tried to be good every day. I just every day, I'm not going to do it, 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 not going to do it. I did it. Ah! Oh, you see, I am righteous. I'm not trying to be righteous. Righteousness is not something I do. Righteousness is who I am. Righteousness is a gift of God. And what is the quality of the righteousness? It's God's righteousness. And it's a gift to me. And as sin entered the world and it was imputed because of one man, righteousness came through Jesus, and God's righteousness was imputed to you just by saying, I receive. I receive the abundance of unmerited favor, and I wrap myself in the gift of righteousness. If you do that, you will reign in life. See, up there it says death reigned, but if you do that, you will now reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that you're going to have eternal life and get to go to heaven. It means right now you will manifest the very divine life of God. We push all the good stuff into the future. But you see, if you accept the abundance of grace, receive the gift of righteousness, you will reign in life right now through Christ Jesus. Settle down. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came. Judgment, accusation, condemnation. Through the one man, suddenly, every person was now empowered to keep the score, to make a judgment of you. You know, I don't know about Pastor Carl. I don't know about him, you know, sometimes. You know, and suddenly comes on us. We can keep the score. We can judge good and bad. We can determine it. We can put on things, whether it's good or bad. We now, in the fallen mindset, we got that judgment thing dropped on all of us. The offense, judgment, came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Say condemnation. See, that one man's sin, because that one man's offense, all men, it resulted in condemnation. I don't like those people, do you? I don't like that. I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm not here to call out and to determine good or bad or call the balls and strikes in other people's lives. I'm here with a debt to love every single person. That's what I am. But you see, because we think we've got the right to operate in condemnation. Even so, listen, here it is again, the lovely pattern here. Even so, through the one man's, capital M here, it was a small M at the other one, but now it's a capital N, through the one man's righteous act and the free gift came to all men. All men were made sinners. All men have been made righteous. Does that bother anybody? How many think all men became sinners because of Adam? Yes, absolutely. How many think all became righteous because of Jesus? I don't know about that. Well, in your mind, Adam's way more powerful than Jesus. One man's righteousness, the act of the free gift, came to all men, resulting in justification of life. We're just reading the Bible. That's all we're doing. We're reading the Bible. Romans 5:20, moreover, now it's not enough that because of Adam, sin entered the world. Let me add to that. Moreover, let me add to that. You ready? It's not enough that we all became sin, that came upon us, every one of us. Sin entered every aspect of mankind. And if that's not enough, moreover, let me add to that. On top of that, moreover, the law entered. It wasn't enough to, you know, we were all sinners before the law came, but then the law got introduced, and when the law entered, the offense abounded. Suddenly, because the law came in, the offenses abounded. I hate rules. Because as soon as you make rules, you have defined offenders. You can't drink coffee in the sanctuary. Who's got a coffee? You. I don't give a rip. I just hate rules. I hate rules of any sort, except the one that says drive on the right side of the road, please, because I want to make it home. But some people elevate the rules over people. And here's that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees did. They said people should obey the rules rather than realizing that the rules were to cause people to come to a helpless despair and say, I can't do it. Send me a redeemer. And the church is still preaching rules. It's awful. So, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life. Not to get to heaven, but through righteousness so that you can live now in the very life of God. You can radiate divine health. You can walk in absolute, total, tangible freedom in every aspect of your life today. Well, sin entered to wreck everything. But thank God that where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So sin was running hard. Sin was abounding. Sin was just collecting. And then up on the right side came grace. And grace caught up. And grace got a little bit ahead of sin. Ooh, I'm beating sin. Oh, sin's catching up. Oh, and grace is on the side. Oh, thank God that grace is just a little bit better than sin. Amen? Where sin abounded, grace overtook it on the final corner. Here comes grace. Chugga, 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 chugga. Woo! Caught him in the final turn. Woo for grace. That's rubbish. Let me show you. Abound. Abound is used twice to talk about sin. It's the word planazo. It means to abound, to increase in quantity. It means you can measure it. Here's sin. Look at sin. There's another one. Oops. There's another one. There's another one. There's another one. Oh, I got a basket full. Oops. There's another one. Where sin multiplied and it kept abounding. There's another. There's another. Ooh, the quantity is big. Where the quantity of sin was big, here's grace. Grace, hyperparesio. He didn't use the word planazo. He didn't say there's a quantity of sin, but there's a bigger quantity of grace. Praise the Lord. No, there was an abundance of sin, and all of a sudden, a massive big foot of grace came down and went, squashed sin in every way, annihilated it, blew it out of the park. Grace came, and it was hyper, it was hooper, it was over the top. It cannot be measured. You could measure sin, but you can't measure grace, because grace comes in, and it obliterates sin in all of its forms. It just goes squash. It's not like chugga, chugga, ooh, chugga, chugga. Little more grace, please. Little more grace. Sin's catching up. Sin doesn't catch up. Sin gets blown right out of the theater. Sin is annihilated and removed from the equation. Please settle down. Thank you, Stephen. What is he shouting about? I don't know about you, but this is really good news. Really good news. You know, because of God's grace, I am dead to sin. What about sin? Oh, I'm dead to sin. Gosh, I get whacked at the abundance of God's grace. I embrace the gift of righteousness. I'm dead to sin. Sin knocks on the door. Hello, Carl, you owe me 500 grand. Bam! I am dead to you. Legally, forensically, biblically, in every massive divine supernatural proportion, sin has no authority in my world. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say to that? Because he's talking, he's teaching, right? So some of you are saying, well, if you tell people that, they'll probably sin. Because if you say grace annihilates the sin, then if I sin, if when I sin in quantities of sin, when grace comes, well, let's make grace abound by doing a bit of sin. That's what you're going to say, right? You get too sloppy with this grace, Pastor, you're going to create sinners. I can't make you what God has delivered you from. I cannot recreate in you something that Jesus Christ has absolutely delivered you from. Dead, rotten religion tries to get in your head and accuses you and says that little fat grace preacher is wrong. But I want you to know this little fat grace preacher is right. Because all we're doing is reading the Bible. We're just reading the Bible without a creepy religious slant on it. We're just reading the Bible and saying, Holy Spirit, teach us. Holy Spirit, teach us. Because God is good. Who would create a medicine for an ailment that would make it worse? Who would say, you got a problem, here's a medication that will make it worse? I feel for you. I feel for what you're going through. So take three of these, and it'll be increased in your life. See, grace is the remedy to sin. And God did not create something that's gonna make your life worse. You gotta take massive, copious amounts of grace, because grace is what brings in you the revelation of, I am dead to sin. Is anybody feeling better already? Because this will heal your bodies. That's why we're going to do this, because everybody is walking out of here completely healed. I'm just trying to get you some revelation to stick in your pipe and smoke it. That's all I'm doing. Right? What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Absolutely not. It's a double negative. No, no, no. No, no. How can we who are dead to sin? How can you who are dead to sin sin any longer? See, but if you don't confess you're dead to sin, you're living in a massive conflict zone. You're living in a massive contradiction. How shall we who are dead, we died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know? You might have come in here today and you didn't know. I didn't know I was dead to sin. Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Jesus died, but when Jesus died, you died. It wasn't just him who died, I died. I died. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Very good. Next slide. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Have you been baptized in the likeness of his death? Yes. I died with him. I died to sin once and for all. Done. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, come on, say, I know this. I know this. I know it. 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 I don't know what I believe in. I know whom I am believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which he committed for me against that day. I don't know a doctrine. I know a person. I know him. I know that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Did you die with him? Are you risen with him? Are you seated with him in heavenly places? I am no longer a slave to sin. No longer. Next slide. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Has anyone here died? You are free from sin. He died when he died. You died. If he died and you died, you are free from sin. Is anybody free from sin here today? How is anybody? Is anybody? Can somebody help me? Can somebody help me? Is there anyone free from sin here today? Say, when sickness knocks on your door, you say, grace has totally annihilated you. You have no place, no legacy, no inheritance, no right, who the Son set free. Free indeed. Is anybody feeling better already? Does anybody feel your blood pressure come down? Did anybody feel your blood and your circulation begin to increase? Did anybody feel your arthritis start to leave the building? Arthritis and all the other itises, brusitis, bergitis, mergitis, hepatitis, shoebitis, sheep bite me. All the its, they're gone in the name of Jesus. Is anybody feeling a bit better? Now, if we died and we've been set from sin, the noun, you were free from the condition that was passed down through every generation. Through one man, the offense entered. And then the law came and intensified it. But through one man, it all entered in. But through one man, Jesus Christ, we have all been set free. Boy, just lean into that for a second. All right, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Christ, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Next slide. Death. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death he died to sin once and for all. Are you all here? Did he die? Did you die? Are you dead to sin? Are you a slave to sin? Absolutely not. For death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives right now, he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon. Say reckon. Anybody use reckon? You use that word a lot? I reckon so. I reckon so. It's actually an accounting term. It's like, I just added it all up. I just added up the whole thing and slammed a grace on the bottom, and I reckon I'm dead to sin. You're filthy, dirty, rotten. You did this, 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 this. What do you got to say for yourself? I reckon I'm dead to sin. And that doesn't mean you're going to sin more, because that same thing that set you free, you died to sin and you've been made alive to God. And his life now is in you, and it's quickening you and working in you. He died once and for all to sin, but the life he lives to God. Likewise, also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. Again, the noun sin, the condition of sin gone. But what are you? I am alive to God in Christ Jesus the Lord. Romans 6, verse 14. Romans 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Death. You're dead to sin. You have no obligations to sin. You're free from guilt. You're free from shame. You're free from condemnation. No obligations to sin. None. Even if you sin, you have no obligations to sin. That is a mind buster for most people, but it is true. The power of sin, the consequences of sin, and the penalty of sin, you've been absolutely removed from. How many think that's pretty good? 2 Corinthians 3, 6 to 11, coming to a rapid conclusion. I know that's saddening for three of you. 2 Corinthians 3, 6 to 11. God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter. Think about that statement just for a second. What did he make you sufficient to be? A teacher of the new covenant. I did not empower you to teach the old covenant, not of the letter, but I have empowered you to become teachers and preachers of the new covenant. Who did he give power? Who did he make sufficient? He made us sufficient ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. People who preach law, legalism, and bondage are literally making people sick. Oh, it's no big deal. Preach the law, Ten Commandments, all that stuff's good. Let me tell you something. It makes people sick. Wow, you mean the Ten Commandments, Pastor? It makes people sick, but the Spirit gives life. But the ministry of death... the ministry of death written in and engraved on stones. The law, now we take it a step further, say the ministry of death. The ministry of death was written in stones. How many of the 613 commandments were written in stone? 10. What's Paul talking about? He's talking about even the beautiful, untouchable Ten Commandments. Let's put those on the wall everywhere. You know what the law is? It's the power of sin. And we elevate a broken system and expect health. We elevate a whole bunch of works-related nonsense, behavior modification. You could do better. I hope I'm not offending anybody because I'm just reading the Bible. Does anybody here believe the Bible? What is the ministry of death? The ministry of death is what was engraved in stones. I didn't call it that. The Apostle Paul did. But I'm willing to reckon so and align myself with the truth because I'm not sufficient minister of the old covenant. I'm a sufficient minister of the new covenant. The old covenant brings death. But even though it was an old covenant and it was a ministry of death, it was glorious. And so even when I teach the old covenant, you can feel glory on it. Moses got the old covenant, and his face shone so brightly, people said, put a lid on it, we can't take it. But you know what happened to Moses' glory? It faded. It faded. It was so glorious the children of Israel could not look steady on his face of Moses because the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Do you want to hang around in the ministry of death, in the ministry of condemnation that will fade away and will not help you? Or do you want to step out of that into a new covenant ministry of the Spirit that will not fade, but will literally go from one increasing measure of glory to another? Some of you just had mind cramps. Some of you are just like, your head's on twist, right? How many of your heads a little on twist, you're willing to say, me? I see that hand, I see that hand. I hope so. I went to church and I had to change my mind. How awful is that? We do need to repent. We do need to realign ourselves with the truth and the word, because false teaching can make you sick. And some people think sickness has its root in all kinds of other stuff. Sickness has its root in the law. Wow, you guys are really quiet, eh? Why are you so quiet? Could I ask that question? You're really focused. Okay. Let's go to one more slide. Ready? Another slide. For if the ministry of condemnation, death, the ministry of death, the ministry of condemnation had glory. So what is the law? It's the ministry of condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. The whole law is a ministry of condemnation. It was designed to condemn you. It was designed to pin you to the wall with no other hope but to cry out, I need a savior. I can't do this on my own. The proper use of the law is to put people in a pickle, where they got to cry out, Jesus, only Jesus. Not grace a little, not even grace a lot, but grace alone. Wow. Exceeds much more glory, for even what was made righteous had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For it was passing away, for if it was passing away, it was glorious. What remains is much more glorious. I'm wrapping it up now. How many are feeling better already? How many are feeling better? How many got a little bit of a head cramp, but you're still feeling better? Pastor just disrespected the Ten Commandments. No, the Ten Commandments are great if they're used properly. The Ten Commandments cannot save you, but they can expose you to your need for Jesus. But if we think it's a list of conditions to behave right, good luck with that. Because that is just, moreover, the law was added. Why? So that you could feel more condemned. I'm not just a little loser. I'm a really, really big loser. But aren't you glad that where sin abounded, grace was catching up. It was coming. It's there. Thank you. No, grace blasted it all to smithereens. Hey, for which is easier for me to say, Jesus is there. They open the roof. They drop down a lame guy. And Jesus says, hey, your sins are forgiven. They all lost it. You can't say that. He said, what? What's easier, to say your sins are forgiven you or to say rise up and walk? Listen, your sins are forgiven you. Whatever is condemning you, whatever is working in your body, whatever is accusing you, whatever is cursing you, he became a curse for you so that you could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's done. It's done. Say to your body right now, say, body, you are healed in Jesus' name. I don't know about you, but I'm really having fun right now. I hope you are. The Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. All over the place, the atonement, sin, and sickness are connected. They're tied together. He forgives your sins, heals all your diseases. Dealt with your transgressions and the iniquity, by his stripes, you are healed. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but make me feel good. Make me feel good inside. Man, make me feel good. John chapter 8. We did a whole summer. Drop the stone. Here it is. Jesus, he raised up and he saw her. And there was no one there except the woman. And she said to her, woman, where are your accusers? Say accusers. See, she was found in the act. She was guilty. She was dragged naked through the streets. She was shamed. She was brought, and they condemned her before Jesus. But Jesus, he rose up and he said, woman, where are your accusers? He says, has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. Broken, guilt, shame-ridden, naked in front of the crowd. No one, Lord. Isn't that great? I don't give a rip who's around me. And I don't even care if you see me completely naked. I boldly stand in front of the eyes of grace and I say, no one, Lord. Here's the catch. You ready for the catch? You ready? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, stop sinning and you won't have any condemnation. No, that's what the church says. See, the church says, so now stop your sinning and you won't get condemned again. That's not what it says. But that's what the church says. Church says, you behave yourself or boy, it'll get ugly for you. So I don't want to find you in one of those spots again. You understand me? So don't sin anymore and you won't be condemned. Isn't that good news? It's rubbish. It's not what it says. But religion backs it up. I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Holy Mackinac. Did anybody get that? See, what comes first is no condemnation. See, we try to get behavior modification. Start behaving like a good person and you'll be healed. Rubbish. You go to healing conferences and they tell you all the 25 things you need to do to get something that's free. By this conference, you'll be healed. Do these 10 things, these 45 things, confess it 68 ways, say thus and so. Don't ever do this. Don't ever doubt. Don't ever. You ready for the healing conference? Are you ready? By his stripes, you were healed. Is anybody feeling better? So I don't want to just give you some trite little stuff. I tried to take you through a bit of a Bible study today to show you that this is really in the Word of God. And yet, what you've been conditioned by and taught all your life can be stronger than the truth. Because deception is ugly. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Yes, you might even have to change your mind. You might have to reckon so. I reckon so, Pastor. Okay, I'm free. All right then, I'm healed. We develop all kinds of mad doctrines. We put sickness in the hands of God as a tool that he uses to create righteousness in our lives. It's demonic. Ooh, did you hear that? Did anybody hear that? Did anybody else hear that? It happens often. It's called the death of a holy cow. Jesus raised himself up. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I am dead to sin. Hello. I'm dead to that. One more verse. I might have two more verses, sorry to say. The sign keeps on flashing at the back. We are done. The volunteers are going to kill you. The kids are now tearing out their hair. I'm sorry. Listen, let's go quickly. The message. When I kept it all inside, my bones turned into powder. My words became day-long groans. The pressure never let up, and all the juices in my life dried up. Is anybody hiding sin right now? Are you hiding sin? Are you hiding in shame? Are you protecting the brokenness in your life? Have you made friends with your brokenness and said, hi, I'm Fred, I'm broken? When I did that, when I covered my sin, when I covered my shame, it brought death in my life. Listen, you are dead to sin. You can stand naked before the Lord Almighty and you can hear him say, neither do I condemn you, even though you're absolutely guilty. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Then I let it all out. I said, I come clean about my failure to God. And suddenly, the pressure was gone. My guilt was dissolved. My sin disappeared. Where do you take your sin? Right into the throne room. Where do you take your failure? Right into the throne room. Jesus, it's me again. I screwed up. Oh, that's okay, Carl. But I stayed over here. I'm going to clean myself up for God. I'm going to get righteous. I'm going to try harder. He'll see that I'm a good soldier. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to repent, 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 repent. I'm going to be a good, good soldier. Oh, I'm going to read more, study more, fast, and pray. Then you watch the other guy go past you. Hey, what are you doing, dummy? Come boldly to the throne of grace, that you might receive mercy, not a lecture. You don't have to qualify to be used by God. He's using me. Jesus rode to town on a donkey. Hee-haw, hee-haw. Last verse, and then we got to do this, and we're going to do it fast. But one verse, here it is, there it is. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen.